Community Powered Public Radio, KUNM 89.9, Albuquerque, Santa Fe, KRRT 90.9, Arroyo Seco, Taos, KRRE 91.9, Las Vegas, KRAR 91.9, Espanola, and KBOM 88.7, Socorro. Online at KUNM.org.
And coming up is Stardate, followed by Espejos de Aslan.
Stardate, February 6th. The black hole at the center of our galaxy is about 4 million times as massive as the sun and millions of miles across, a monster you want to stay well clear of. Yet compared to the black hole at the center of the galaxy NGC 4889, the one in the Milky Way is sort of like a hole dug by a pill bug compared to the entrance to Carlsbad Caverns. NGC 4889 is a giant elliptical galaxy, a football-shaped galaxy that's much larger and heavier than the Milky Way. A couple of months ago, a team of astronomers reported that the black hole at the center of NGC 4889 is probably a record breaker. It appears to be about 5 million times more massive than the black hole at the center of the Milky Way. The astronomers used a telescope in Hawaii to measure the speeds of stars at different points near the center of the galaxy. They then plugged those measurements into mathematical models and ran the models on supercomputers at the University of Texas. The speeds of the stars reveal the mass of the central black hole. The results for different models vary a bit, but the most likely number is somewhere around 20 billion times the mass of the sun. At that mass, the black hole would be a dozen times wider than the orbit of Neptune, the most distant planet in our solar system. And its gravity would dominate a region hundreds of light years across, a region you definitely want to avoid if you ever visit NGC 4889. Our web address is stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin MacDonald Observatory, I'm Sandy Wood.
Welcome you to Raíces y su programa Espejos de Aslan. This is Adán. Needless to say, the issue of legal versus illegal immigration has real-life implications. Tonight on Espejos de Aslan, Cristina Bachin looks at how deportation and its aftermath tears apart Latino families in our very communities. Among them, Ramón Eduardo Dorado, a 19-year-old CNM student raised in Albuquerque since he was a small child, who was deported after being issued a traffic ticket along I-25 on his way to morning classes. Ramon's parents relate the events leading to his deportation and the consequences of deportation on Latino families in our community.
Radio show is about just one case, Ramón Eduardo Dorado from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Just one case of the 400,000 deported by the Department of Homeland Security. Is it this, the path that this society prepares for some of the nation's 11 million immigrants who don't have USA residency? My name is Cristina Bachin for Raices Collective.
My name is Ramon Dorado Mendoza. I am 22 years old. I migrated with my family at age of six. We have always been a strong family, hard workers, help others through our church. Myself, I have coached a soccer team with children and also help teenagers get closer to God through our church. And also, I was about to finish a degree in architectural drafting, but everything changed. One day I was driving through I-25 and I was going to school, and a U.S. Marshal stopped me for a driving violation.
This voice is from Ramon Eduardo Dorado, who was halted by Aviation Police Chief Marshal Katz on I-25. He was driving to Central New Mexico Community College with his sister. According to Katz's belt tape video, he and another aviation officer, Eldon Martinez, asked Ramon's social security number. In one day, Ramon was deported right from there to the border of Mexico, a country where he didn't go back since he was 6 years old. That was the beginning of a family calvary to recover their child and reunite the family at home, now Albuquerque, New Mexico. Which are the consequences of immigration laws that, as a result, has deported the highest number yet of 400,000 people last year? What happened on July the 9th, 2010? We talked with his parents.
Pues él es un buen estudiante y iba rumbo a la escuela, al CNM, al colegio, con su hermana en la troca de mi hijo.
He's a very good student. He was heading to school, to the Central New Mexico Community College, with his sister in his truck. It was a normal morning for them. They got up, dressed, and prepared their things for school. But on the way to school, an aviation policeman, supposedly a marshal, stopped them without any apparent reason or justification. This was just one of the many cases. He detained my children at I-25 and Cole. He stopped them at the exit. Then immigration enforcement officials appeared, the ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And then the police from the city arrived. The aviation policeman said that he stopped my children because they were speeding. But we know our family. Our children are honest and law-abiding. They don't have any prior felonies. They're students, leaders in their schools, and in our church, San Jose Parish. I believe that these agents set traps to capture immigrants on purpose.
And we asked Ramon's father when all this happened in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Un año y medio aproximadamente, y resulta que para nosotros ha sido muy difícil porque la separación de familias destruye la economía, destruye...
This happened a year and a half ago. The separation is very difficult because it destroys the economy and it destroys families. I don't think that this should be allowed to happen. From my point of view, these people acted badly because they detained our children based on profiling. That is, because of our appearance. We look like Hispanics, and so they detain us without any proof of wrongdoing. They verified that my children weren't delinquents, that they were students, but even then they deported my son. It was really very hard for us. Currently, Mexico is going through a chaotic period. There are lots of crimes. The mafia is taking over our towns and our cities. We are afraid for our son because it doesn't matter if you're involved or not. You can lose your life because of a stray bullet or because you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's very hard for us, and it's unsettling.
Allá no hay con que si andas o no andas, una bala perdida o una situación en donde no estés en el en donde estés.
Es difícil para él porque ahorita está con la abuelita de él, la mamá de mi esposo, y no conoce a sus tíos, a sus primos, no, casi no los conocía.
Now he's with his grandmother, my husband's mother. He doesn't know his uncles, aunts, and cousins. He almost didn't know them. But now, since he arrived there, he began to study. I don't know why all this happened. I would like for people to know, to understand that we are good people, that we work hard. We've been living here for 16 years. We worked very, very hard. Thank God. We serve in our church as well, in community centers, in non-lucrative and non-governmental organizations. We always worked for the wellness of our community. We are a good family that serves our community. That is not valued. Since we arrived, we pay our taxes. They didn't give us the opportunity to change our legal status.
Y pues no, no se nos ha dado la oportunidad de arreglar nuestro estatus. Pues a veces pensamos que han sido muy duros con nosotros, o sea, al no darnos una oportunidad de poder demostrar que somos gente buena, que venimos a hacer el bien aquí, no
venimos a hacer el mal. We often think that they have been too hard on us. They didn't give us the opportunity to demonstrate that we are good people, that we came to the country to do good deeds. Certainly there are bad people, but not because of one person. We have to all pay for that. Sometimes we begin to think that it is better to return to our country, but we are thinking about our children's future. That's why we came, for the future of our son, and now he is there. It's very hard to think that my family and my son's future are uncertain, because we are neither from here nor from there.
No somos ni de aquí ni de allá.
Did your child ever return to Mexico after coming to the United States?
Él ya no había vuelto para México, hizo toda su escuela aquí desde primaria y llegó al colegio y truncaron sus sueños porque el hecho de querer vivir el sueño americano ya es muy difícil aquí por tanta...
He has not been to Mexico since he was an infant. He grew up and went to school here in Albuquerque, from elementary school, and reached studies in the community college. They shattered his dreams. It's really difficult to live the American dream these days. It's difficult because of so much negative politics. They take us as a prize to make their policies and destroy our lives, instead of working together to get this country ahead again. We're all human beings with the right to be free and to work to give our families better lives. I think that because of a few bad eggs, they're showing us all that we're not welcome. But if we remember history, and I didn't write that history, we are all immigrants with the exception of indigenous peoples from here. I have lots of native friends who have taught me their traditions, and I share mine with them. I think that we should follow in their example. They accept us. Why do other immigrants kick us out and talk about us so badly? We're neither criminals nor people who are trying to take anything away from them, who create jobs, traditions, new ideas. We share with people of color, with Anglo people. I don't have enemies, so I think we live and work together. We need to have faith, as it is written in the Constitution, on our money, in God we trust, and I certainly trust in God. We should share this country and change this political ideology that's affecting us all.
Hay que tener fe, como dice en la Constitución, en las monedas y en muchas cosas está puesto que hay trust en God y pues yo creo en Dios también y deberíamos de compartir y cambiar toda esa ideología política que nos está afectando tanto.
We asked to Ramón's mom if they are afraid that it will happen the same kind of procedure to them and the rest of their family.
¿Tienen miedo que a ustedes también les pase lo mismo?
Claro que sí, ya no andamos a gusto, andamos en la calle con miedo. Ya si nosotros, por ejemplo, si vemos algo o ya vamos a tener...
Certainly, we are very unsettled. When we are on the street, we are scared. And if we see something, we'll be scared of calling the police. We knew people who called the police because of domestic violence issues. And the woman was arrested. And then they put in an order of deportation for her, for the woman who is the victim of the domestic violence. As we work within the community, we are aware of what is happening. It is not fair. Sometimes a person calls to report to the police because something is happening, and the attacked or assaulted person is the one who goes to jail.
Y las personas que son agredidas o algo son las que las meten a la cárcel.
Today, your son is in a town and a country he barely knows. How is he feeling there? How do you keep contact with him?
Sí, casi a diario de que él se fue, estamos comunicados con él y mi familia ya, y estamos supervisando lo que de que esté estudiando y trabajando y haciendo cosas buenas como aquí.
We communicate with our son and our family in Mexico every day. We are monitoring him to be sure that he is studying and working and that he's doing just as good there as he was doing here in Albuquerque. But it's been very difficult for him. He's a sad young man. It's very difficult to express all this, but this is, in fact, what's really happening to us. My son is not the only case of unjust detentions and deportations. There are other youngsters who were deported. They were raised in the USA, some even earlier than my son. They were brought here as infants with their parents looking for a better future for their family. The officials don't understand the sacrifice involved to your family, country, religion, language, and everything. Then try to adapt ourselves to this country's ways and laws, to learn the language, how to get ahead, and even invent work. Sometimes we can't find jobs because we don't have the documents. Yet we continue contributing to the economy and improving the country's economic power. If we don't have a job, we'll create one to survive. We go to school to learn English, and we try to follow all the laws. It's very difficult because a few people want to put up barriers. It's tough. But we have faith in God. We have to continue fighting to achieve political changes so these unjust enforcement actions and interpretations don't separate our families again.
Vamos al colegio y aprendemos el idioma y tratamos de seguir todas las leyes de aquí. Pero muchas veces es difícil porque por un grupo de personas nos ponen barreras. Es duro. Pero, pues como les digo, también tenemos fe en Dios y hay que seguir luchando y lograr cambios en la política para que esas leyes no vuelvan a salir y cambiar las malas leyes que nos separan de nuestras familias. Créanme que yo no le deseo a nadie esto que estoy pasando, pero tengo la esperanza de un día volver a estar juntos, de que estas leyes cambien, de que nuestros presidentes y nuestros gobernadores cambien a las actitudes que tienen por cuestiones políticas, porque yo no le deseo, esto que yo vivo no se lo deseo a ellos, pero ojalá y ellos...
Believe me, I don't wish for anyone to experience what I'm going through. I hope that someday we'll be together again, that these laws and unjust enforcement tactics will change, and that our presidents and governors will change their anti-immigrant attitudes, which potentially appeals to some people. I don't wish what I'm living on anyone, but hopefully they experience my situation for just one moment only, to make them experience how so difficult it is to have your family and dreams destroyed. It's very difficult. I wish that they could feel with their own hearts this pain so that they change these laws that are hurting our society so much. I hope that our governor's ideology will change. Being Hispanic, coming from Mexican parents or grandparents, she rejects us and she blames us for things we didn't do. The 9/11 attack was undertaken by those who wanted to harm the U.S. It affected all of us as human beings, and not only here on this side of the world, but also in Europe and Asia as well. It should never happen because it's a crime against humanity. It should never happen because of an ideology or because a group of extremists want to harm us. I don't want it to ever happen again. But immigrants are being used as scapegoats. We're not criminals. We did not come to this country to do anything bad. It's not true. They can examine the economic statistics and see how much, in fact, we bring to this country. From an economic point of view, we're a strong group with our jobs, our education, our great way of contributing to this country. They should examine the numbers and show them to the citizens. Not everything is bad about immigrants. We give lots of good things to this society. I hope that this message can reach and touch our politicians' hearts.
Deberían de ver los números y hacerlo y saber a personas que son ciudadanas, que no todo es malo, que también damos mucho, mucho, muchas cosas buenas. Y espero que este mensaje llegue y conmueva los corazones de estos políticos.
We asked, what do they think of President Obama's promises related with immigration reform? This is Ramon's mom's answer.
Yo pienso que él tiene deseos de ayudarnos. Nada más que ahorita como está el ambiente político, mucha, ¿cómo se dice? Racismo, todo eso.
I think that Obama
se
wants
le ha hecho
to
difícil
us.
A él hacerlo.
But because these days there's a lot of racism in the political atmosphere. It was hard for him to do anything. But I know that he is going to fight for us. I can see his desire to help us.
Talked with Dr. Bill Wagner about which are the effects of deportation procedures for families, especially children, and the community itself. Dr. Wagner is the director of Centro Sávila, located in South Valley, Albuquerque, a center that works clinically with families and children who are going through this traumatic experience.
I think that it's, first of all, it's a lack of understanding of history that has led to such anti-integrant immigrant sentiment right now. My office is located here in the South Valley, right on the Isleta Boulevard, which used to be the Camino Real. And it was a route that was colonial and pre-colonial. Of trade between Mexico City and Santa Fe, and people have been commuting, traveling and living along that route for hundreds and hundreds of years. And before, this was the United States here, this was Mexico here, and before that it was Spain, and before that it was a territory, an area that was traveled and lived by indigenous peoples. And so the idea that these people are somehow interlopers or new to this area is just nonsense. We have in Albuquerque a huge population of families that have lived for generations that have traveled between Albuquerque and Chihuahua, many of the communities in northern Mexico are very related. Albuquerque is a sister city of Chihuahua, Mexico, and so There's multiple generations of families that have a long history with northern Mexico. I think I wanted to clarify that because this is not a new issue in New Mexico. It's an issue that people, I think, have framed as if the landscape is being invaded, which is doesn't make any sense. So given that history, many generations of families have lived here and new ones come and go. And inside one family, you'll find people with multiple statuses or different statuses. So you may have parents who were born in Mexico, crossed the border, their children were born here, or grandparents who are U.S. citizens went back to Mexico, had their children there, their grandkids come here. There's, in one family, there may be U.S. citizens, U.S. residents, and legal permanent residents, and people that are undocumented. And seeking legal status in the United States. And so when one of those members is deported, it affects the entire family, especially children. And many of the children are U.S. citizens, and so they will live here. And if we're concerned about the future of society, we want to make sure that those children have a good start, that they are able to go to school, they're able to learn, they're able to have successes and feel good about where they live and feel that they're part of a community. These immigration policies go directly against that. They break families. They hurt children. They make it difficult for children to go to class and feel safe. They make it difficult for children to go outside their homes and feel safe. They make it difficult for children to concentrate in school. And in New Mexico, we have a school system that is not prepared to deal with this problem. At the level, especially that it's happening right now. We don't have enough bilingual counselors and therapists. Many of the teachers themselves are not educated about what families are going through. And so when a child is staring off instead of paying attention to the class, a teacher may just think that that child is incapable of doing the work, when many of these children are very capable. Many of them are bilingual. They have skills that many Americans don't have. And yet they are often put in classes where other kids that aren't performing well are put and that have special needs. And it ends up being a real loss, not only to the families that have a child in deportation or a family member in deportation proceedings, but to society as a whole. It costs much more when a child doesn't graduate from high school. It costs much more when a child is afraid to go to their doctor because they may get questioned about what their legal status is. Many of these families end up not using health care at all until they can go, until they have to go, and they end up in the emergency room, which costs so much more than preventative care. And it's just an incredible loss for our whole community. And it's important that people recognize that, because this problem is not going to go away. Unless the United States decides to deport the millions of people that live here, most of whom work hard, play by the rules, and try to just have a good life for their children and their families, If we want to embark on that kind of a venture as a society of just mass deportations, it would be so much more costly and so much more harmful as a society. It's based on fear, the mentality of people that are doing that. It's based on ignorance, and it's based on a lack of understanding of history. We need to, as a society, begin to push immigration reform in a way that helps families that are here, helps children to succeed, and embraces our identity as a community, as one that has always been made up of immigrants, and embrace the richness of other cultures and other languages and people that are different from us, rather than be afraid of it.